Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. Hi, it's me, Vince, and I'm getting joined with my former co-host before I went to the day shift, Kristen Lee Brzezinski. And she's joining back with me because I wrote a special Tuesday evening version. Kristen, welcome. Glad to have you back.
Hey, Vince. I'm so happy to be back. I'm glad it all worked out that I was able to join you tonight. I missed you.
I missed you, too. It's like I'm doing the show on the afternoons. You got your day thing. I got my thing that takes up this time of day. And it's just one of those things that happened that really I didn't really like because we were having a good old time together. And then you went joining the Racers Roundtable. And I don't know what's going on with that. If you still do that anymore from time to time, I don't see any posts on it, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, we don't do Racers Roundtable anymore. Pete, Pete and his wife Amy, they did it for many, many, many years, and they decided that they wanted to hang up their Racer Roundtable hat, and they camp a lot now, and they do all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm glad to be on with you tonight.
Well, that's good. Because not the same talking by myself and unless I have guests on. And I thought the afternoon you can catch some of these people from time to time, but some of them are testing and all this kind of thing. We usually have on, get somebody on. I hadn't booked any in a while. And tonight we're going to have Jamie Little calling in shortly, and she could shed the light on some certain things. So as soon as she joined us,
great.
We'll be able to bombard her with some questions. I know the last time she was on, you were on because of the fight between Brad Kay and Jeff Gordon after the race that I think Harvick kind of started.
Yeah, I do. I remember that. That was one of the last shows I was on with you. We had Jamie on.
Yeah, it's good that, you know, that she came on right away because this was like, this was the next night because it was a Monday night show.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I figured, so it's good to have her join us and give us the play-by-play on what happened there because she was stuck right in the middle.
She was stuck right in the middle. I remember that. She had a good perspective of what happened, too.
So the sport's been kind of crazy this year. I know they got the new schedule coming out for next year. They're going to change a few things. The second race in Charlotte is going to be three quarters of the way around the oval part. Then they're going to venture into the infield and make it a road course type of. They're calling it a roval, which was kind of a term that they gave the Pocono a few years back due to the three different corners and three different straightaways because they had to shift gears. So, but they're actually changing things up next year. So that ought to be interesting. And of course, Monster Energy taking over the Cup Series this year. Everybody wondering who is going to take over from Sprint. So it's just one of those deals that what new formats that were going to come. They went from the chase to the playoffs, and now there's stages, which I think a lot of people are griping about. Have you been getting any feedback on that?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a lot of race fans, and I'm still in contact with some people in the racing business. And, as far as the fans go, I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing a lot of positives of it. It gives the sport a new dynamic, but they're not really enjoying it. And I think for those who don't watch every race every week and they tune in to maybe their favorite tracks or something, they're finding it a little hard to follow in terms of how it works. And I mean, even myself, I've been so busy, so it's been difficult for me to tune into all of them. But I mean, I kind of like it. I do. It's a lot to get used to.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing. And I think what they did was supposedly try to basically bunch up the field a couple of different times so you didn't have them long stretches of green flag where everybody tuned out and then tuned back in for like the last 10 or 15 laps, you know. So,
right.
But it always seems to be that there is always a caution like 5 or 10 laps before the end of the stage, and then they have to come back and throw the yellow again for the stage. Actually, they don't throw the yellow. They throw a green checkered flag as opposed to the standard black one, that black and white one you have at the end of the race. So they say, well, and then they throw the yellow behind that. And that kind of throws everybody off. It's like, well, they're actually, you think it's dragging the race out even more. And you can see their point on certain instances.
Do you, in your opinion, do you think it is doing like a positive, like you said, you know, kind of spreading things out a little bit and making it more exciting, or what's your opinion?
Well, it was a disaster at Daytona, as it seemed like it. The first race of the year at the Daytona 500, it seemed like it was a mess. Now, I kind of think, well, maybe they ought to do away with it at the restrictor plate tracks, but the next two Talladega races and the Coke Zero 400, well, the Talladega race and the Coke Zero 400, they didn't win the other Talladega race yet. That's in October. But it seemed to have gotten a grip on it. You know, when these things start out new and the drivers don't know what's going on, it tends to get a little messy. But I don't know. It's just kind of what happens there.
You know, in my opinion, you know, being a race fan, I feel like they just keep changing things. I think they're changing things too much. They're throwing this at the fan. They're throwing that at the fan. You know, I think it's time to leave well enough alone, in my opinion. I know I've talked to some other race fans who feel the same way. It's like, just let them race. Like, just let well enough alone. But then I also saw, like, this past weekend, a lot of people posting about all the empty seats. So maybe it's NASCAR's way of trying to make things more exciting and attract more fans back to the racetracks.
Yeah, but there's been empty seats since, I guess, 2008. I mean, those seats used to be packed everywhere. They were adding tracks, adding seats to the tracks. And I think it has a blame on the economy a bit, because when you look at things, people didn't have the money they used to have, people getting laid off, losing their houses, they weren't going out for the many races. And the more dollars that were getting pumped into, like, you know, it used to be that building a race team to run the schedule didn't cost like $10-15 million to run, and you got car teams that, you know, the better teams are going to attract the bucks, but the not-so-good teams are struggling. You had to start in Parkers and all that kind of thing. I mean, you don't even see a full – they lowered the field size to 40, and sometimes you've seen races where you don't even have that, and that's rare in
exactly.
a Cup Series.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, like you said, I think the economy changed things a lot, but I don't know.
It hasn't really bounced back to where you know people have that extra cash to go out. So of course, turning on television is probably the next best thing. So even the TV ratings, I guess, have dropped down. I see some of the fan pages that I'm on to just to see how things go is the fact that people are complaining about all sorts of stuff, you know. It's like, this is that, and that's that. You know, they're losing ratings, they're losing viewers, and the stands
right.
are empty. But the stands, I found, have been empty for a while.
Yeah. No, I agree with you totally. But I think that some of what NASCAR does is to try and change that, but I don't think what they're doing is the key to changing that at this point.
Yeah, and like with the rules changes, like seems like every team has to re-engineer their cars all the time, and that takes like a lot of money. I mean, you go from the high spoiler blade down to lower downforce, and you know, then you want all these cars kind of blending in and all that kind of stuff. So it's not really like helping the finances of the teams itself. And the truck series, from what I've been reading, they're really having problems.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's one of the better – they have some of the best racing out of all three touring series.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still looking at $5 million a year for 26 races to fund a decent team. And you see people like Kyle Busch saying he's got to put his own money into the team just to keep it afloat. But you kind of need that farm system of drivers. It's more like these guys start out on dirt, but when they have to go to asphalt, they have to transition to some sort of track, whether it's a late model or even the ARCA series or even the truck series. So I don't even know how. I mean, because when you're running a preliminary race, it's kind of, well, the people are going to pay the big bucks to go see the, if they're going to show up to go see the big series, but they kind of throw in the tickets to the other series, so.
Yeah. they do group them up a lot, where you can, if you go to, I know from Pocono, you go to Pocono, get your ticket for the big race, they're also throwing in, well, trucks race there too, right, Pocono?
Well, they do have the truck race. They got a doubleheader with ARCA, and then I think this past year they ran the Xfinity Series at Pocono as well. So you're getting three races because nobody's just going to pay for that race. And because usually when I used to go to Pocono, it used to be not the cover. I was way back in the 80s. I don't think you were born yet, but
I was a year old.
I used to, you know, get a place to stay, which, you know, back the boom was hitting, and you would, you'd have your hotel or campground or whatever, and then go to the track and tailgate and hang out there and then go back. So, and that's another thing that might stop people from going is the hotel room prices as well, because they always jack those rates up. Knowing people are going to come in, but then they stay home there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but they do have to make things more attractive to the fans in some way to get them to the track.
That's just it. And with, I guess, Monster Energy coming on board, it's just one of those things that, I don't know. And I hear people complaining about the Monster Energy girls in Victory Lane, how the Miss Sprint Cups were so classy in their fire suits, and now you have these girls in bikini tops and spandex pants there in Victory Lane, and, you know, that might discourage some of the just the family-oriented fans as well when they bring their kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I find that to be ridiculous. People will find anything they can to make an excuse or complain about something. I mean, I don't know.
Like, I know you're a mom. You take Nate to the races. You bring him back on pit road and things like that. And how does he do the stuff when he's there?
You know, I mean, Nate's 11, going to be 12 in February. So he doesn't really say much, I guess. I think it's more of like an excitement thing. I mean, I think if parents are going to blame not coming to the track on these Monster Energy girls, well, then that's just crazy. Cause I think the excitement of the cars and the noise and just seeing their favorite drivers overpowers that part of things, in my opinion as a mom, and just in my son, you know, knowing what he looks forward to and enjoys at the races that we go to. I mean, I could see some points in that, you know. But hey, it's all about what and who and how you can attract somebody. So maybe Monster Energy feels that beautiful girls in little tops and little bottoms is the way to go. And, you know, I guess it's kind of like a trial and error. They have to figure it out as they go to see what the consensus is amongst fans for that.
I know. It was kind of interesting because I knew Sprint was ending up last season. And I was wondering who was going to come in and take over. And when they said it was Monster Energy, I said, well, you know, it's another product that the masses can enjoy. I mean, I know a lot of people, when Winston left, he said, well, you know, tobacco can only be marketed to a certain age group, and then you had to worry about people smoking and all that kind of things. And that's another, you know, they had those big lawsuits, so they kind of bowed out. And then Nextel took over, and then Sprint bought them out. So that was, you know, in the day and age of technology with cell phones, how it evolved into what was basically a brick into a smartphone. They were going to draw a whole bunch of new customers, so that kind of, you know, was good for them, even though I'm not wasn't a big fan of Sprint's network, because I hear people complaining about the calls. I was always a Verizon guy, so I didn't have to worry about anything. But, and then, you know, now the energy drink, people are, you know, I see a lot of people drinking either Monster or NOS, or which, believe it or not, if you ever looked at line that Monster owns, they own pretty much just about everything but Red Bull.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
But it's just kind of the way they're going. How are they going to market the sport? I know the energy drink. You don't want your little kids drinking too much of that, because that wouldn't be really good.
Yeah, I know. Nathan's always asking me for, Mom, can I get a Monster? Mom, can you get me Monster? Dad drinks Monster. I'm like, no, Nathan, you are 11 years old and you're not drinking Monster. And I'm sure him seeing, you know, Monster Energy series for NASCAR when we watch it is probably, you know, something in his ear saying like, oh, Monster Energy. But I don't think it's something for kids to drink.
No, but maybe when he's about 15, might give him a taste, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure he's tried it before, but hey, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, when he's older, but again, that shouldn't take away from the fact that Monster, you know, sponsors the NASCAR races, just like the girls in Victory Lane shouldn't take away from the. What's in front of our face, and that's the sport of NASCAR. And, you know, no matter what, these guys, these drivers, the girls and girls, I can't forget, you know, they come out every week, they drive their hearts out, and they try to put on, you know, a good show per se for their fans. And so no matter who the sponsor is, you know, what it comes down to is the drivers and keeping the fans entertained. And I get to, the tracks have to keep the fans entertained. The tracks have to keep the fans coming. The broadcast channels that have the races, they need to keep the people at home entertained. So, I mean, it's kind of a team effort when it comes to keeping NASCAR in the forefront of people's minds and keeping fans sticking around.
That's for sure. I don't know what happened to Jamie. I guess something must have came up. She's usually, she's usually on, so I don't know. I sent her a text saying, don't forget me, or don't forget us. So hopefully she'll join us before the end of the show.
She's a new mom times two again, right? Like, she just had a baby not too long ago?
Yeah. And, you know, kids take priority, so I understand that, so that's why I don't worry about things that happen. Like, if you had to bail for something, I would have understood. I got plenty of stuff that I could talk about and bring up. And speaking of bringing up, what do you think of the way things are turning out as far as the Cup drivers are going? I mean, you have Joe Gibbs, who finally got a win for his own team, but they support Furniture Row, and Truex has been pretty much kicking butt. I mean, he only has 3 wins, but he's got a lot of these stage wins, which hosts up a lot of playoff points. And then you have your pal Brad Kay with 3 wins, and Jimmy Johnson, he's in there. You can't count him out. Might be a shoo-in, might be going for an 8th championship. And then you have Matt Kenseth, who is going to be out of a job by the end of the year and basically has to look for a new ride.
Yeah, the way things are going so far is, I would say, even though obviously if anyone's listening that knew me from before, I am a Brad Kay fan, but I'm loving Truex. I'm loving it. I think he's such a great person in general. He's a talented driver. I'm so happy he's finally finding kind of his niche and things.
Just think, he started his run with DEI. He came up and drove the one car that Steve Park used to drive way back in the day. Got his first win at Dover, which is basically one of his home tracks. I think he considers Pocono the other one, being from a North Jersey native. He had the 2 options of going, which was a rainout, one of the only rainouts Dover had, because I was down there that weekend and I couldn't stay for the race because I had a Monday show to do. And then he went to Mikey Waltrip's team and seemed to have some decent success with that. I don't know if he got any wins there, but he always looked fairly decent. Then they had that big controversy with because he drove, I think, the Napa car with that one, or one of the cars he drove there. He was there was a big kerfuffle where Mikey said some of the guys should have held back so Truex could get in the chase and all that kind of stuff, and that cost Mikey Waltrip's team a lot of sponsorship money, and then they split up. And I think Truex wound up with I'm trying to think of who we went to between there and there, or did he go right from there to Furniture Row? And, of course, they were a young team and didn't think that – I mean, he actually helped put them on the map. I mean, Kurt Busch, when he drove for them before that, kind of elevated their status a bit, and they were driving the Chevys. But it seems like since they switched to Toyota and collaborating with Joe Gibbs Racing – that seemed to thrust them into the forefront.
Right.
And, of course, all the stuff with the... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna expand on Truex and Furniture Row. I remember... pretty sure it was Furniture Row. Furniture Row before Kurt, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't have really some bigger name. Who was with them before Kurt?
I really don't remember that.
I know, exactly. Exactly, I don't remember either.
I mean, and they were pretty much... backmarker team, you know, maybe finishing in the bottom 20 all the time. And it seemed like, you know, it just went going, I guess, back 20 to start in park status, but they kind of figured something out.
Mm-hmm. They still partially housed in Denver?
Yeah, they are. Here's the kicker, and here's the joke you see on TV. They're housed in Denver. They have a New Jersey driver, and Cole Pony crew chief is Canadian.
How about that?
So I guess if I interviewed Cole Pern somehow, I'd talk racing and hockey.
Hey, that's right up my alley.
Oh, I know. I see those pictures of you and at the Phantoms games up your way. I remember when the Phantoms used to play right next door at the Spectrum.
Yes, they did. I'm so happy they came to Allentown. You have no idea.
Well, I could bet it's a... And the tickets for hockey for a minor league game is a whole lot more affordable than the NHL ticket.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm a Flyers fan through and through, but you know, to be able to go to a Flyers game as much as I can go to Phantoms games, it's just virtually impossible. You know, one, Philly's an hour from me. Two, the price of tickets. You want a decent seat, you're paying over $100.
Yeah, if I didn't cover the Flyers for my old AM station back up there, then I probably wouldn't have gone to a game since they played at the Spectrum, because figure even then you were looking at the cheap seats were going for like $35-$40 a pop.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's not cheap to go. I mean, kind of along the same lines as NASCAR. However, I do believe it's a lot more affordable to go to a NASCAR event these days. They are doing, I know Pocono, I don't know about other tracks, but Pocono makes it nice. They do family packages, you know, different packages you can buy so you can really get a good experience. And I don't think people realize that either.
Now, and, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do is, you know, when usually I have the Dover people on because they've always been coming on with me, so I guess they feel, and they always have packages, Richmond, just go to their websites, and, you know, Pocono's got their packages. It includes the whole weekend, just the one day with a pit pass or a garage pass, sort of, they dole out.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you want to talk about a fan event, you ought to take me to Maple Grove and check out some NHRA drag racing. They'll love that.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, well, you know what the monster trucks are like.
Oh, yeah.
And, drag racing is probably one of the few motorsports to have a lot of successful women drivers.
I think I actually follow a few on social media, on Twitter. Where is Maple Grove? Is that Jersey?
It's Reading.
Oh, it's Reading?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact, one of the Maple Grove race is actually part of their countdown to the championship, which they've had long before NASCAR had the Chase, I believe, and it's like a 6-race set. And ticket there, they said every ticket's a pit pass, and that's any NHRA track. And they're working on the cars. One side's the nitro cars, which are the funny cars in the top fuel, and the other side is the pro stocks and the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having to pay extra for a garage pass at a cup race, whatever you get the ticket, they just walk along the strip there. And one, like I said, you can see them working on the cars. The drivers come out and sign autographs. So it's a pretty family-oriented thing. And I'll tell you, if you're standing down or sitting down by the start-finish line where those nitro cars take off, you'll have a feeling inside your body you've never felt anywhere else. You, You thought NASCAR was loud or monster trucks? Wait until you get two cars, 10,000 horsepower, Pete, starting off going down the track.
Sounds amazing to me.
You'll have to check it out. I mean, my whole body vibrated inside and out. I'm talking head from my head to my feet. Never felt anything like it before.
Very cool.
And
I will have to. I'm going to look into this because that is not far from me.
I figured you should. And the Papa John's Pizza Dragster, which is driven by Leah Pritchett, who's doing pretty good this year. And you have the Force sisters, Brittany in Top Fuel, Courtney in Funny Car, along with her dad, John Force, who's got 16 championships as a driver.
Wow.
He's like the Richard Petty. He has two as a car owner, because there's one driver. It's all family there, too, because Robert Height, he is a son-in-law. Married to one.
Mm-hmm.
I think John Force doesn't have any sons, but he's got like four daughters, so. Robert Height's married to one. Ashley used to drive. She finished second to him, to Height, 1 year. And then she went off to have babies. And now you have Courtney and Brittany. Courtney's married to IndyCar driver Graham Rahal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder how she feels like being the faster of the two. He might go for 200 miles an hour for longer, but she does 300 plus in a quick stint.
Jeez.
And then you have the Erica Enders in the pro stock class, first woman ever to win a pro stock championship, did it 2 years in a row. That's where you actually have to shift gears. She had a couple tough years, but she always comes on the show. That's why I keep having her on. She's got it right after her first ever event win. She's been coming on pretty much any time I ask.
I think I've been on with her. She was a good guest. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, if there's somebody else you could follow, they had a little bit of a, like last year they switched to Dodge, and then they went from carburetors to fuel injection, so there was a lot of transition that they had to do, so they didn't have a good year then. And then from there they went back to Chevy, so they had to re-engineer that. So she actually got her first win in a couple of years this year, so she's starting to make the climb back up. Now, whether it's good enough to get her a third championship, but might not be this year, but knowing her, she'll be back with a vengeance next year, because you can see the progress the team has made just from where they were about a year ago after coming off their second championship. And winning two championships in a row in any motorsport series is kind of hard, unless you're Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, I was just going to actually say that to you, unless you're Jimmy Johnson. Now, really quick, Vince, you said something that I wasn't aware of. Like I said, I've been so busy this season. I've tried to catch as much NASCAR as I can. But Kenseth, he's out, right, from Gibbs. Am I right?
That's correct. That's correct.
At the end of this season. So he'll finish out this season and then.
And then he'll be looking for a ride, or he's probably looking for one anyway.
Right. So have they announced a replacement for Junior?
That they haven't. So there is an open seat right there. Now, I know they announced a replacement for Kenseth for next year, and I can't remember the kid's name. But that seat's already filled, and then you figure they had to replace Edwards for this year, so they brought up Daniel Suarez from the Xfinity Series. But Junior's seat hasn't been filled yet, so be where he's headed. I know somebody I talked to during the day says he thinks he's going to Hendrick. But he's, you know, a race fan, not a media person. But he thinks Kane will be out of a ride this year. But that remains to be seen. Because Casey Kane, since he went to Hendrick, really hasn't done much after having all those good years with Everingham and back in the day. It was him, Ray Everingham with Kane, Bill Elliott, and Jeremy Mayfield. And poor Jeremy Mayfield, he had a fallout, I guess, with Everingham back in the day because Everingham was bringing Aaron Crocker in up through the truck series, and then they wound up getting married somehow. And Mayfield kind of felt that he kind of lashed out that saying Everingham was spending more time with her than he was with the rest of the team. And then, of course, Mayfield wound up with legal problems, something to do with meth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I did. I do remember that. I just don't, back to the Kenseth thing, I really don't think that Kenseth is a great fit for Hendrick. I just don't. I am not a fan of Kenseth, I got to be honest. And I don't feel, you know, I feel like right now, like, Hendrick is made up of just some powerhouse drivers. And not only just, like, powerhouses on the track, but powerhouse personality, fan-wise and everything. I just don't see Kenseth fitting into that Hendrick dynamic.
Nah, because you figure, well, Kenseth, to borrow a phrase from President Trump, a low-energy type of guy, you know?
Yeah, I got it.
And, I mean, he's a good driver, but he has won a championship, but that was with Roush, and won Rookie of the Year with Roush. And I guess when he figured he was going over to Gibbs, they could build on that, but makes you wonder what happened to Gibbs that they haven't been in the victory lane at all this year except this past Sunday with Hamlin.
Right.
I mean, Kyle Busch doesn't even have a win this year, and he's usually good for 2 to 3 a year as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of what I was thinking before in regards to how the season's going so far. I feel like there's a couple of drivers that I really thought would kind of come out as powerhouses this year. And they've been consistent, just not winning races. And Brad is one of them.
But Brad's got 3 wins, though.
I don't feel like he's standing out this year. I know he's got wins. I mean, that's great, fantastic. Jump off my seat when he wins, you know, that whole thing. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at, though. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
That's who they replaced. Kenseth, Eric Jones, Truex's teammate.
Oh, okay.
Well, Eric Jones was driving in. He was driving for Gibbs last year in the Xfinity. Came up through the Truck Series driving for Kyle Busch. So, I guess being they didn't have a seat for Jones, they let him go to Furniture Row to be a teammate at Truex, where he's actually performing pretty good. As a matter of fact, let me take a quick peek at Sunday's results and see where he wound up. I guess not as good. He wound up 39th, dead last, gotten into a wreck. So but he's been finishing pretty decent normally. So kind of like the Clint Boyer situation. He drove for somebody until Stewart's seat opened up this year, and then he went over to the 14.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another speculation that Danica is looking to get out of her contract at the end of this year, which is basically through next year.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what's going to happen with the 10 car.
What is her contract left? What does she have left? Do you know?
She's got, I think she's through 2018.
Okay.
So rumor has it she's been trying to get it shortened to the end of this year. But I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I feel bad for her, really, because she hasn't done all that well. Now, I don't know whether she's getting substandard equipment or her skill level hasn't evolved from, I mean, maybe she moved to the Cup Series too fast, and she's been in there a few years, so she should actually have some, she should have developed, I think she should have maybe developed a little further beyond, because when you got Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick as your teammate, and Clint Bowyer, which I'm looking for him to maybe do a little better next year as well. But when you got, you know, three established candidate drivers, two of which have won championships, possibly helping you out, it's kind of like what happened here. There's some sort of disconnect.
Do you feel, though, that she's had a lot of bad luck in terms of not all her fault?
She's had some. But why she mired middle to the bottom end of the pack week in and week out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's in an area where bad luck can happen. Yeah, she's been gathered up into some wrecks and had some bad luck. I mean, but then you look at pit strategies where maybe somebody needs to take a gamble, say, hey, let's take two tires and get you some track position and see what you can do from there and then work on it from that way. You know, that there's a whole bunch of things that run through my head that why isn't she running better before the bad luck?
Right.
I mean, basically, she's the only regular woman in any of the three NASCAR series. I mean, Jennifer Jo Cobbu is a team owner, driver of her truck team. Even she doesn't make every race because she's basically underfunded. And it's kind of tough anyway, but she's sticking to where she's at. And I'd like to see better things happen with her as well. I just, like, I don't know why that more. And Danica's brought some big bucks with her. She had GoDaddy, and of course she's got a couple different sponsors this year. But I think if she had done better with once she had the GoDaddy sponsorship, they might have stayed around. I mean, because, I don't know, unless the web business is not like it used to be and they had to cut back on some things corporately anyway and figured that's the easiest one to cut when you're shelling $10 to $15 million bucks a year and maybe just sticking to some Super Bowl ads.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on Danica?
You know, I'm torn on Danica. I'm torn. I like Danica. Hell, you wouldn't see me getting in climbing one of those cars every week and race with, you know, with the big boys. And I mean, she might not do great. She might not have the skill they have, but I mean, she still gets out there and does her thing. Obviously, I think she's great for the image. I feel bad for her in a sense, though, because I feel like she gets a really bad rap from fans. I don't know if you saw the video that was released of from Pocono. It was Pocono, actually. And it was,
yeah, that's right.
Did you see that? And they took video of her explaining herself of why she didn't stop and sign autographs.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's find out more because we got Jamie Little on the line. Let's welcome to the show, Fox Pit Reporter and friend of the show and a friend of mine, the one and only Jamie Little. Jamie, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I was wondering glad you could join us. I've been looking to have you on. I figured I know you spend, when I do the daytime show, you have your animal shelter thing. Now you have another baby in the world that you have to take care of. So I figured, well, maybe you'll get some time on the nighttime show. You could join us let us know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm actually on vacation right now up in Lake Tahoe and herding two kids and three dogs and bad cell service. I'm late calling in, so I apologize.
That's all right, because I'm sitting here looking at the switchboard and just waiting, and it just popped up. So apparently, yeah, I think the internet service and the cell service didn't kind of help. So if you were trying to get through for a long time, I don't know. That's the thing about these website things, and you're calling into a site which has a switchboard to me, you know, kind of like big production, not with Sirius and all that, only on a smaller scale, and finally lets it come up. But we were just talking about all the changes in Danica and why she hasn't excelled the way we would have liked to have been. And Kristen brought up the thing about bad luck, and I'm saying, yeah, but she's not running up the front of the pack. She's in the bad luck zone, running from mid back to the bottom, to the bottom of the pack, and that doesn't really help your cause.
Yeah, well, I would say any given race weekend, she's running anywhere from 12th to 20th. That's where she runs. That's what she's capable of. That's what her team and her car is capable of. When you see her in the 30s, that's because she's had a wreck, and she has had some terrible bad luck, and we know that, racing is ebb and flow like that, and some drivers just get bitten by the bad luck, and then others have that good luck, as they call it, the golden horseshoe that they say Jimmy Johnson's had for so long. But Danica, when they're on, and she had a great run going at Kansas. She's had about five or six runs this year that should have been top tens, and she did have a top 10, but she's had multiple, I think, where they were just clicking, but they ended up, she got together with somebody and got in the wall and her day was ended early. But she runs better than half the field, but I know that because she gets so much attention, you expect her to do better. I think with as much attention as she garners, people expect her to have a win. People expect her to run in the top 10, and that she's just a unique circumstance. That's not going to be Danica. Can she win a race? I think there are some tracks that she could win, especially with the equipment she has. But for her to be doing what she's doing, and if it was easy, there'd be a lot more women out there doing it every week. But she is the only one with a great team, and she's great for the sport. And if this is it, if this is her last year, I hate it for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
I'm with you on that one, Jamie, in terms of that's exactly what I said. I mean, kudos to her getting in a race car every single week with the big boys and doing her thing. And it is. It's her image. People expect – the people want and they hope that she's going to finish, win a race, come in second, come in third. But I think she's doing what she can do with what she has. And I think she's had a bout of bad luck. I think so.
How many guys is she racing around every week that have never won a race?
Exactly.
That's what you have to compare it to. People always want to say, well, Danica's never won a race. There's a lot of drivers in that field who've never won a race. Actually, if you look at it, it's probably more than half the field have never gone to victory lane, and they've been doing it for years and years, and they've made millions of dollars doing it. So she's not something new in that regard, but it's because she gets so much attention, and people look at her through a magnifying glass, and because, let's face it, she has a ton of fans. And people want to know where Danica Patrick finished, especially people that may not follow the sport all the time. And I'm speaking from experience. On the West Coast, where I live, there's not a lot of people who follow NASCAR every week. But I'll tell you, when they come to do service on my house, those are the people that say, how'd Danica do last week?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I can't believe Danica, this happened or that happened. People care about where she finishes, and that's why she gets so much attention. And so many people being naysayers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then your internet souls out there.
She's passionate,
yes,
too, and I feel that they are – I think people are very big critics of her and the way she handles things. And, me watching her – the video they posted on social media of her explaining why she didn't sign autographs, I my heart went out to her. I got where she was coming from, whereas, you know, other people decided they were going to take it to a whole nother level and make it seem like she was being a crybaby and this and that. No, she's working really hard out there every single week to do her best, and she's constantly got naysayers against her. And, more power to her.
Can you imagine doing your job and you were constantly defending your actions, constantly defending every decision you make, every time you get in a race car? It would get old. That's why I respect the hell out of her, because she's found a way to balance life and balance that. She takes the good with the bad, and she sees the greater picture. And she's involved in so many things. She keeps a positive attitude, and she keeps it together. Look how many years she's been at the top level of racing, whether it was IndyCar or NASCAR. For anybody to be able to balance that kind of criticism and still do what she's doing, I mean, you look at race car drivers, she is considered very successful. So, you know, more power to her. And I look at Jimmy Johnson the same. Look at how many naysayers there are about him, because people hate to see the same person win all the time. Yet Jimmy takes it in stride, and he keeps doing what he's doing every year despite people hating on him.
Right. 100%.
And the thing about Jimmy Johnson, too, is you got to realize the chemistry that has been built with that team over the years. You've only seen it maybe several times, whether it was the Petties, Dale Earnhardt Sr., with no matter who he had as a crew chief, his core pit crew was always the same. And to win 7 championships is no small feat. Winning one is tough. You just look at some, like you said, Jamie, about all these people that have never even won a race, let alone a championship. And you got guys like Harvick that finally got their first one, Kyle Busch, Max Kenseth, all your single champ winners, and poor Dale Jr., who is a good driver. People hammer him, and he's retiring this year. He doesn't even have a championship to his name, but he does have 2 Daytona 500s.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and look at how much attention he gets, but people don't want to hate on Dale Jr. because the Rapids Jr. Nation.
Yeah, that's just the thing. And, you know, I'd like to see Danica have better success. And like you said, there's half the field that hasn't even won a race, but she's going through it. And hopefully, maybe if things don't work out with Stuart Haas, that maybe, you know, maybe the chemistry hasn't fit the right way yet there, too. You know, there's always Hendrick, and you can always say.
Yeah, let's face it, Jamie and Vince. Let's say Danica pulled off a win. She's going to have naysayers against her win, too, saying she got lucky, she this, she that. I mean, she can't win in terms of no matter what she does. She could come in last and get crap for it, and she could come in first and get the same thing.
Jamie, your thoughts? Oh, we lost Jamie.
I think we lost her.
Maybe she'll try to get back in. Hopefully it won't take her 10 minutes to... Yeah, I don't know what happened there, because I was watching the switchboard, and I noticed her just pop up, and it said, hold time, 20 seconds. Oh, she's back. Hold on, let's get her back. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, guys.
Baby,
sorry,
I heard the baby in the background. How's he doing?
What's that?
I said, I heard the baby. How's the baby doing?
The baby's doing great. We have both kids in the car, and cell service is just not good up here in the mountains, so I apologize. But
that's
yes, we're
okay.
Saying the naysayers, if Danica were to win, I mean, she did win in IndyCar. She had one win, and there were so many naysayers saying, well, it was a fuel mileage race. Of course she won it. Yeah, well, there were 23 other drivers who could have won on fuel mileage, and they didn't. She did. So you're right. I mean, no matter what she does, there are going to be people that hate on her. But at the same time, she's also going to garner more attention than any other driver in the field. If Dale Jr. wins a race tomorrow, he's not going to get the kind of exposure that Danica Patrick would if she won.
Oh,
right.
Especially at this point in time, too. If she plucks off a win, especially going to the Brickyard this weekend, so... I know it's a track you've covered the 500 on numerous years, and you know what that place is all about. It's kind of, I mean, yeah, they want to win in NASCAR, but IndyCar is where it, I mean, they had the 101st running this past year. You were probably wishing you were there this year, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I love that place. It's so special. It's unlike any other place we race. NASCAR is definitely different there for sure, but still, it's a hallowed ground, and to race there is a big deal. And even NASCAR drivers, all of them, top to bottom, respect where they are. They respect that place. And somebody like Danica Patrick, I mean, that girl's had more success at that racetrack than almost every driver in that field, other than maybe five or six NASCAR drivers who have had multiple wins and great success. But the amount of races that she led, the top 10 finishes she had in the Indy 500s that she ran, you know, she has great statistics there. And it's very special. And I know Indianapolis, the fans there, they're excited to see her come back.
Oh, that's for sure. And who knows? I mean, that is a track where Stuart Haas has some success. And
definitely.
Maybe she could find the magic and do that. Speaking of finding success, what do you think of Joe Gibbs getting her first win of 2018 out of all their drivers combined? That's strange.
It's shocking. That's been, I think, the biggest storyline this year. I mean, other than, you know, Dale Jr. obviously retiring and everybody watching his every move, every finish, I think Joe Gibbs Racing, having not won a race since last year, was huge. I mean, the amount of opportunities they have with the level of drivers that they have. And then on top of it, you have Furniture Row Racing. Martin Truex Jr. has 3 wins under his belt, and those guys are fast every week. For them to beat out their, alliance, it's a big deal. And I know Gibbs, it rubs him the wrong way, but it's also good for competition. And for Denny Hamlin to get the win, I think it was really big. And I think even better was that he had a phobia of that lobster, and that was probably the best victory lane I've seen all year.
That was a big lobster.
The video. The video that is classic.
That was, I mean, you see this, oh, these race car drivers are supposed to be so rough and tough, and you just want to race, sweated it out, and beat everybody to the line. And here he's running like a girl from a lobster. I thought it was pretty funny.
I would have said, throw that thing in the pot. I'll eat that thing.
Yeah. Well, usually what I found out is that lobster usually goes back to the shop and all the team members get to share it. That's usually what they do with it. So I don't know if they will with him or if they'll literally listen to his word and say, put it back in the water and let it live.
I don't know. It is lobster country up there. So I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I went to Maine one year, and we had lobster just about every night at different places. And going back to Jersey or even down here, you can barely find lobster in the mountains of Virginia. But
yeah, right.
It doesn't taste the same.
Right. It's a great trophy to have, I guess, if you like lobster.
That's for sure. Oh, well, let you get going. I knew you were press for time. I was glad you could make it in. Don't know what happened there because, like I said, I was watching for you to pop in, and I guess the interweb gods kind of held you in limbo for a while.
Yeah. It's been good. It's been nice having a break, but I just booked some trips, and I'm going back to, I'm going to host Race Hub on Fox Sports here coming up in August. I believe 3 different times. So watch for me there. That'll be fun to get back in the studio. That's not something I usually get to do. So it'll be fun. I'll be filling in for Shannon Spate.
Oh,
great.
That's right. You two are back together with Fox. And then somebody hasn't been on the show. She did a stint on the show early on before she made it to Fox. It was Caitlin Vinci. So maybe you could tell her to come back on sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. A bunch of good girls that I work with. Very professional, been in the sport a long time. So it's a great place to work.
That's for sure. I mean, I don't know how it worked from when you made the switch from ESPN to Fox. I guess all that happens when they find out one network's leaving the broadcast, and Fox squashed you up, which I think was an excellent choice because – you do a good job. I've noticed where you've caught some trolls on Twitter, which personally I feel like smacking upside the head with a board, but they don't know what you do, and they don't realize that the whole purpose of an interview is to evoke the interviewee to do most of the talking stuff.
Yeah, I know people are pretty darn good on Twitter to me. I don't have too many trolls. There might be somebody that calls me out for, you know, a question or the reaction from somebody. That happens very seldomly. And if somebody rubs me the wrong way at the right time, I'll just retweet it and then people get on them about it. So Twitter is a weird thing. But Twitter is I love it because for the most part, people follow you because they like you and they want to know about you and your life and what you do. There usually aren't people that don't like you or want to laugh at what you do that follow you. So it is what it is.
That's just it, and everybody uses it nowadays. So I don't really use it that much because I go more with the Facebook. But it's just that sometimes I just can't figure out in 140 characters. Plus, I don't know how to link the two together like you do because all your Twitter posts go up on Facebook as well. That's where I see most of them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't do Facebook, but my Twitter go there so my friends and family can see them there.
That's just the thing. You'll have to let me know sometime how you have that linked up, and I'll switch it over. Maybe I'll start tweeting more and letting it go there.
Yeah, it wasn't hard to do. I looked it up, and Twitter made it pretty easy.
Well, it's great to have you on. We'll have to do this again, maybe not so long a gap between them. And,
Sounds good.
Maybe towards the end of the season there, we'll get your prognostications on the championship. So I wanted to get your take on the new format, which with the stages and the points, and it's kind of confusing, I guess, if you're not in it on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I think stage racing is awesome. It's done a lot for the sport, I think, and it's just more fun to watch, especially now that I'm home watching as a fan. So it's going to be good. I'm excited to see what happens with the championship. Martin Truex Jr. is going to be tough to beat. So is Kyle Larson.
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, Jamie, we'll let you roll. We're just about out of time anyway. Thanks for coming on, and it's always a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Thanks, Jamie.
All right,
take care.
Take care. There's Jamie Little, Fox Sports pit reporter for NASCAR. Out on the road there, Kristen, what do you think? You know, maybe that's half the thing that happened because, like I said, usually, you know, she's always pretty good about coming on, and she did again. And when she said, what nice, because I saw as soon as she popped up there and she was able to chime in on the discussion. I guess she was on hold for a little bit, but it didn't show up on the switchboard. So I don't know, maybe it's sight or what, but you have things like that go with technology. Either they work fine or you want to smash your equipment.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, at least we got her on for a little bit. She's always a good guest. She's always very informative, and I enjoy watching Jamie, on TV as well, covering the sport.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I know the Brickyard 400 is coming up soon, and Kyle Busch won this race last year. Kenseth finished second. I picked Kenseth, believe it or not, to win this past weekend, and he came in fourth. When Denny Hamlin took the checkered flag, it was Kenseth was leading. When Hamlin passed him, it was about 30 laps to go, and then Kyle Larson and Truex got around him as well. So he did have a good finish, but going into Indy, I guess we ought to take an idea of who to pick on that one. Kyle Larson is looking pretty good this year. Not that I pick him to win the
race.
Kyle
Larson, he is consistent. But he started in last place, am I right? And finished second this week?
That's correct, because he did win the pole, but he failed some inspection, and he had to start from the back. 39th, dead last. And drove all the way to second.
Yep, that's what I thought. I think he's one to watch, just like Jamie said. It's going to be hard to beat Truex, but I think Larson is one to watch.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to those two. I mean, again, Truex finished third, inherited the pole, and led 137 of the 300 laps. So he led the most laps. That's what I'm saying. He did get another stage win. Again, that all packs up points. So he not only leads the points, the standings with wins. He's tied with Jimmy Johnson, of course. But in overall points is where they rate the seedings. Because if you got tied in wins, I think that's the next thing that comes into play. But as far as playoff points go, he's got 29, where Johnson only had 16.
Yeah. He's one to beat, I'm telling you.
So, I guess, who you liking this week?
Staying with that person, I'm going to go with Larson for the win.
That's a good choice. I don't know who I'm going to go with, because I'm looking, you know, here's your finishers from this, you know, from the Brickyard last year. It was Kyle Busch with the win, Kenseth second, Jimmy Johnson third, Hamlin fourth, and then Kyle Larson came in fifth. So you probably have the right pick there, because Chip Ganassi always does good at Indy, whether it's IndyCar or what. So I guess I'll have to combat that Chevy with another Chevy, and I'll go with Jimmy Johnson this week.
Okay.
So we'll have to pencil that in. Thank you for coming on with me for the special Tuesday night edition of Garage Talk Live. And let you go get some dinner. You're probably starving.
Yeah, long work day. By catching up from my vacation last week. So long work day, fed my son, so now it's my turn to eat. I don't like eating this week, but I had to make the show with you, so I put my hunger on hold.
You should have nibbled when I was talking this way.
That's okay. I was busy listening.
You could have lunched and just sent me a Facebook message or something saying, "Hey, I'm eating right now. Keep talking."
Oh, too funny.
Well, it was great having you back. We'll have to do this again sometime. Pondering and doing something on a Sunday night, maybe not strictly motorsports, but more entertainment. Would you be into it?
Yeah, let me know. Let me know. I'm around and more than willing to help you out whenever I can, and come on and talk some racing.
All righty. Well, Kristen, great having you on. We'll let you get going, because I got to get going. I got to eat my dinner yet, too. And I guess if you can sneak in on a Tuesday afternoon during a lunch break or something, feel free, you know. So.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Always. Next time you got Jamie on, make sure you let me know.
All righty. Sounds good.
All right, Vincent. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care now.
All right, take care. You too.
Okay. All right, bye-bye. That's Kristen Lee-Bazinski, my former co-host, joining me back for a guest tonight with Jamie Little. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You have her pick. She's going with Kyle Larson. I'm going with Jimmy Johnson for the Brickyard. We'll see you all next week back at our noon show. So, if you missed today's show, go to blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive and pick up the podcast. We'll be up and running on that as soon as we get off the air. So everybody enjoy the weekend. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Eldora Truck Series on Dirt, Tony Stewart's track. It should be interesting. So check that one out. That ought to be fun, huh, Kristen?
Yeah, excited for that. I'll be watching.
All righty. So I guess we'll go back and forth on the post. So we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host, with Kristen Lee. And good evening and good racing. I usually say good day and good racing, but it's good evening now. So we'll be back next Tuesday at noon. Bye now.